A reading from the letter to the Ephesians. I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth takes its name, and I pray that he will bestow on you the gifts in keeping with the riches of his glory. May he strengthen you inwardly through the working of his Spirit. May Christ dwell in your hearts through faith, and may charity be the root and foundation of your life. Thus you will be able to grasp fully, with all the holy ones, the breadth and the length and height and depth of Christ's love, and experience this love which surpasses all knowledge, so that you may attain to the fullness of God himself. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. John's disciples and the Pharisees were accustomed to fast. People came to Jesus with the objection, "Why do John's disciples and those of the Pharisees fast, while yours do not?" Jesus replied, "How can the guests at a wedding fast as long as the groom is still among them? So long as the groom stays with them, they cannot fast. The day will come, however, when the groom will be taken away from them. On that day they will fast. No one sews a patch of unshrunken cloth on an old cloak. If he should do so, the very thing he has used to cover the hole would pull away, the new from the old, and the tear would get worse. Similarly, no man pours new wine into old wineskins. If he does so, the wine will burst the skins, and both wine and skins will be lost. No, new wine is poured into new skins." The Gospel of the Lord. I've chosen to use the proper readings from the Dominican lectionary for Blessed Raymond of Capua, because it seems to me that one of these readings is particularly appropriate to the observance, while the other is singularly inappropriate. Let me start with the inappropriate one first. No man puts new wine into old wineskins. But isn't that, in a way, just what Raymond did? Now, Raymond of Capua is known for two things. The first is for being the confessor to St. Catherine of Siena, with whom he worked in restoring the papacy to Rome, and thus beginning to bring to an end what has been known in church history as the Babylonian captivity, but also for his renewal of the order of preachers. He is, in fact, called the second father of the order. But the way in which he renewed the order was different from other renewals or other reforms. Now, Raymond lived in desperate times. Once again, the bubonic plague had decimated Europe, emptying religious houses, especially the houses of active religious like Dominicans, who went out into the streets to try to help the suffering and their families, only to, in many cases, contract the disease themselves and bring it back to the house, where then it spread among the members and decimated the houses. Many houses stood empty or practically empty. At the same time, there was a lessening of fervor second houses, only natural after a century. Many reform movements lose steam after about a century. And some, in light of the need for members, for bodies to fill the choir stalls, urge that the order relax its norms to bring people in, just so they could carry on the observances and do the ministry of the order, the preaching. But others felt, especially interpreting the plague and its devastation as a sign of the things to come, the end days, felt that it was time for reform. Now, this kind of reform split many other religious orders, especially the Franciscans, who felt the same need. But the reform among the Franciscans led eventually to what we today call the conventual Franciscans and the Friars Minor, two different orders within the same family. At a later age, there would be still another reform, forming the Capuchins. Reforming splits like this took place among the other religious at other times. The Benedictines were split back in the 13th century by the reform of the Cistercians, and at a later time the Cistercians were split by the reform of the Trappists. The Carmelites, too, split over reform and became the regular Carmelites and the Discalced. Now, the genius of Raymond was that he, as Master General after Catherine's death, managed to hold the whole order together. This was, it is true, in part due to Dominic's genius in forming a constitution which was very durable through many different circumstances. But Raymond did this by, yes, it is true, separating the reformers from the non-reformers by placing them in different houses, but also by keeping them in contact, not letting this order split apart, and in a way, putting new wine into old wineskins. This movement not only kept the order together, but allowed the reform to spread in a way that it couldn't if the reformers split off from the non-reformers. And this strategy worked, especially in Germany and in Italy. And the reformed order survived. What led Raymond to put aside the logic of Jesus in today's gospel, keeping new wine out of old wineskins? Perhaps it's the logic of today's epistle, the letter to the Ephesians, a logic which relies upon God's grace and not human effort for true reform. I kneel before the Father from whom every family in heaven and on earth takes its name. May Christ dwell in your hearts through faith. May charity be the root and foundation of your life. Human reform tends to fade, and it always needs to be renewed, and it's both on the individual level and on the community level and on the level of the church. We are in constant need of reform. Reform, reformation, unfortunately, often brings about division. And so the reform is hindered from reaching those who most need the reform because it divides. In our own age, which is certainly in as much need of reform as any other, if not in more need, let us pray that the wisdom, the logic of Raymond of Capua will be ours. Reform which keeps charity and faith foremost and allows those who want to reform and those who need to be reformed together.